Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
John Spinani says, that young lad you had on from Armenia is a credit to his family, his club, his school. He was so articulate. I was so glad the man you interviewed mentioned him, says John. That was Liam from Cabinteely. Yeah, very articulate. Now, have you heard about a fish called the flapper skate? It's found in Irish waters and researchers are warning that it could face extinction. Dr. Patrick Collins is a lecturer in marine biology at Queen's University Belfast and he's on the line now. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Ray. How are you keeping?
Good. Flapper skates.
Yes.
Describe them to our listeners.
Well, they're the biggest skate species in the world. If we use the old imperial measurements, they're over 9 foot long, or they can get up to over 9 foot long. They're big, over 100 kgs as well. So, you know, about the size of a baby elephant. Wow. is a good size for one. They're very strange animals. They communicate with electricity. They have big fat tails, and that produces little electrical signals that they use to chat to each other. We don't know quite what they say. And they're not doing so well. Their numbers kind of collapsed in the 1920s. The minute we brought in diesel fishing boats, basically, was not good for them.
Right.
And they collapsed and disappeared from the North Sea, 1920s, the Irish Sea, the 1970s, and they're not doing well, really. They're listed as critically endangered by the IUCN at the moment.
So that 9 foot, is that from mouth to tail end?
No, tip of the nose, tip of the nose.
Tip of the nose, right. Because they look a bit like stingrays, what width would they be?
They'd be about 2 metres or about six foot across for a big female, yeah.
Yeah. And they're related to the stingray, are they?
They're distantly. They're an elasmobranch, so they're in the group of animals that's all the sharks and skates and rays. These would be considered a skate. Now, there's a big confusion over skates and rays, largely because of chippers, because, you know, you get ray and chips,
yeah.
Which is actually a skate.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I suppose a skate would be something with a big fat tail that communicates, that has those electrical producing organs in it,
yeah.
And lays eggs. And rays tend to be live bearing. They have live babies and they have a little thin tail and they've got a spike on it.
So again, when you say eggs, that's roe, is it? It's not.
No.
An actual egg. A hard egg.
They lay big eggs.
Do they?
Yeah, big hard eggs. They're about the size of an iPad. And they lay maybe 20, 30 eggs every other year. And the eggs themselves take about 18 months to 2 years to hatch.
Right.
And one of the big focuses of our research now is trying to find where these egg-laying sites are. So the females, they all lay the eggs in these nursery areas, these egg-laying sites. So multiple females will use one site over many, many years.
Right.
And we're trying to try and map them and find them and conserve these areas. Because, you know, these animals, this is a critical point for them.
Yeah.
And if we can map these and protect them, that's good.
And when do they reach sexual maturity?
I've got a student working on that at the moment, and it's quite grim. It looks like the females take about 22 years to reach sexual maturity. So,
Why is that grim, Patrick?
Well, it means that they can't really take any exploitation. They're very slow to recover.
Oh, I see.
From anything.
Yeah. So they lay eggs with like shells,
yes.
and then they hatch them. And do they have to stay on top of them, or what way does it work?
Oh God, no, they're terrible parents.
No, terrible. Right.
No. They lay the eggs and they shoot off, and then the eggs hatch. And from what we understand is that the babies then move off into deep water, probably off the Western Isles of Scotland and off Galway Bay. And they poot around there at about 200 metres for, you know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And then as they get bigger, they move back in. Like, you got to remember, when they were more abundant, had the babies come inshore, they would have probably got eaten by their parents. So it made good sense, evolutionary speaking, for the babies to separate out from the parents.
The parents, because the flapper skate is a predatory fish, but it would even eat its own.
Oh, it'd eat everything. Yeah, yeah. They're voracious fellas. Like, they'll eat sharks. They'll eat whatever's in front of them, really. If you look at their mouth, they've got rows and rows of these little sharp needle teeth just for grabbing onto things. But yeah, they'll munch crabs, lobsters. They'll eat taupe, other sharks, everything.
You would never encounter them if you were just, you know, doing a little paddle or a little swim in, you know,
well,
would you?
You would.
Would
well,
you?
You would have. You would have. Because they're critically endangered, there's just not a lot of them left.
Yeah.
But like the biggest one ever caught on this island was in Strangford Lock, and it was stuck in the kelp at low tide.
Right.
So yeah, they live in quite shallow water as well.
Will you explain to our listeners how important, because they'd be way up on the food chain, wouldn't they? Because they're so large and they're predatory.
They would, yeah. They'd kind of munch everything smaller than them.
Yeah.
I guess the importance of them in the food chain nowadays is probably diminished because they're critically endangered. There's just not that many of them. Back in the day when there was loads of them, they would probably played a more important role in structuring the ecosystem below them. So we've kind of lost that. But we don't really understand it because it's very hard to kind of tease that out when there's so few of them left. And to be honest, they're pretty difficult animals to study and to find out anything about because they're big and there's so few of them.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by how they communicate. So they can see electrical activity, can they? Or detect it?
They can. So they've got these organs known as ampulla of Lorenzini. They're little black, actually any shark or ray has them. They're little black spots you'll see around the body. They look like freckles really. And so they can see you, they can smell you, they can hear you, but also they can sense the electricity generated by your body. Now, it was used mostly in other species to find prey in the dark. Mm. So like as your heart beats, it's electrical charge. Your synapses in your brain, electrical charges. As the blood flows through your veins and arteries, that creates electrical charge. So to them, when they look at you, they would see you, they'd smell you, they'd hear you, but also they'd sense an aura around you. It's very difficult for us to kind of perceive this sort of sense. But in the flapper skate and the other skates, that's gone a bit further. So they're not just using it just to sense prey. They're actually using it in an active way as well. So they're communicating with other skate and God knows what they're saying. But
and is there any record of a flapper skate attacking a human?
Yeah, right. There was a few, not really. They attacked a few boats in Scotland last year, but it was more nibbling the side of a rib. Like right. They're not dangerous.
Yeah, I saw a documentary recently and I saw a stingray flying out of the water. I've never seen it before. It's a majestic sight. Does the flapper skate do that? No.
No. Those are the little devil rays, which we're doing a project on them in the Galapagos at the moment as well. They will shoot out of the water. The flappers are not quite as elegant, but they will flap around on the surface, hence the name.
Right.
And there's plenty of footage online of the big ones just flapping around. They don't come out of the water too big and heavy, but they'll you know. Not majestic, really, yeah. Or elegant.
So you've people working flapping. On their gestation period, on their sort of laying sites, all with a view to sort of protecting them, what we have of them.
Oh, geez, yeah, we've got a fairly big research group up here looking at different aspects of their biology, ecology, and conservation, and trying to understand, you know, their reproductive rates, where they lay the eggs, trying to manage that, even what sort of habitats they live in. We're looking at population genetics, looking at gene flow. All these things are critical to our understanding. And, you know, we're also trying to develop methods to reduce the capture of these in fisheries, which is, you know, what drove them to this state in the first place.
Right.
So there's a lot of work going on. And, you know, it's kind of cross-border, it's regional. So we're up in the north and we're working with people down south and with the Scots and with the Danes and everybody else. So everyone's pulling together on it.
Well, listen, thanks for introducing our listeners to the flapper skate. I'd imagine a lot of people had never heard of the flapper skate before. Dr. Patrick Collins, lecturer in marine biology in Queen's University. Thanks, Patrick. Thank you.
Thank you.